This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody deserved a relaxing offseason more than 76ers assistant coach Dave Joerger. After battling head and neck cancer during the 2021-22 NBA season and returning to the bench for the season's final stretch, the veteran coach could have taken a hard-earned trip off the grid. Instead, he's spending his time giving back in multiple communities across the country. Ahead of one of Joerger's favorite summer events, a basketball camp on the Standing Rock Reservation in northern South Dakota and southern North Dakota, the now third-year Sixers assistant coach sat down for some time on the 76ers Insiders podcast to discuss life, what's ahead, and everything that he's doing to make the world a better place. I am so happy now to be joined by Coach Dave Joerger. It is wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to see you healthy. How are you? Where are you? What is happening in the life of an assistant coach right now?
It is great to talk to you as well. Things are really good for the Sixers and for me as well, as far as personally, things that have gone on with recovering from cancer treatment. And it is a process, and you know, you never feel like you're fully healed or done with it, that it's always going to be a part of your story and part of what you're going to go through physically and mentally going forward. And your family has to live with it as well. But we feel very positive about it because of getting to it early and identifying what the problem was early and then going to treatment immediately. And so we feel really very positive about what's going forward to be and live a full life.
Well, I'm not the only one that feels this way, but it's just awesome to see you healthy and sort of like back to yourself. For like a little extra context, I remember last season really well. We started a long road trip and you sort of gave the announcement that you were going to be taking time away from the team and nobody knew about it. And I remember as time went along, there were questions about whether or not you'd return during the season. And I think that Doc especially was certainly hoping that you would get back, but not expecting you to. And I remember how meaningful it was to have you back for the end of the season, for the playoffs, and how I think especially among men, like people don't express a lot of emotion, but that was a moment when people really did and everyone was so happy to have you back. So what was it like to be able to get back? And now how much do you look forward to going into a more regular season?
Yeah, that was really, that was neat. Any impact I had on them was times a thousand of the impact they had on me, you know, and being around the guys, being around the coaches that are both the players and the coaching staff are way more than a working professional relationship. We're all friends and, you know, you're pulling for each other and your families know each other and your families are trying to help each other all the time. And we're around each other more than we are with our, sometimes with our own families. And so it's its own family. And so that was very invigorating for me and just a real shot in the arm. And then certainly the competition and being able to be part of another successful season. And now as you flow into the upcoming season and the excitement that we have going into that, and I know we'll talk about that, but it's just, it's, there's just such a good vibe. We have a great group of players as people, and the same with the coaches as people, that you want to be around them. And so now, with the success we've had and the success we feel like we can have going forward, it's just really, it's a very positive vibe because everybody's all pulling in the same direction.
And the offseason is a weird time because we don't really get to check in with you guys all that much, but in the limited check-ins that we have had with the coaching staff, with executive leadership, there's a lot of excitement about what's gone down in the last few weeks, adding to the roster, looking ahead. You mentioned building on what was already a pretty successful experience with the existing unit. What excites you about the changes that have been made and the opportunity that's ahead now, a little, let's say like a little over a month in the distance?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, things go fast, you know, and I think before you even get to the changes, I think you get to the fact that James Harden and Joel Embiid and then the and other guys did not have a lot of time together. Our core has had 2 years together. Tyrese, Tobias, and Joel and Tobias have been together for X number of years. We get that. But to add a guy who has the ball as much as James does, especially with Joel, that's only going to get better as more time is spent together, right? And so I think that's going to be really a positive for us to be able to have a training camp and to go into a full regular season together. And that's a process and a journey that they'll continue, because they're great players, continue to get better at. And then when you add the fact that our development of our younger players, they're going to continue to get older. Shake Milton, Matisse Thybul, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't want to miss anybody. I mean, Tyrese, we kind of sometimes just glean over Tyrese because he's so prominent, but he's had a great summer. We know this. And so there's that development and that improvement from within. And now you then add the other players that D'Anthony Melton and PJ Tucker with Daniel House. So what it does is it gives us a lot of flexibility. Those guys can all play multiple positions. They can play with the basketball. They can play without the basketball, and they can all defend their own position very well, as well as other positions. So they're good dudes too. Let's not let that go. They're good people. We're adding to the mix. So it gives us a lot of depth. And some would say the other side of it is you have more margin for error. You have injuries are part of the process of an NBA season. And so to have that continuity where you kind of don't miss a beat when somebody has to be out for X number of games or period of time. And I think that's just only, and also the fact that especially PJ has been around the block. He's got veteranness to him. He's got experience to him, and he's vocal. And I think that's really going to help our locker room. It's going to help our team continue to grow through the journey of the season.
We've heard Doc talk about, we heard players talk about post-game after the final loss in the playoffs this season is toughness. And so you talk about PJ as someone that has all the experience that a player can have in this league in terms of winning, but also in terms of years. James, of course, has both of those as well. But the toughness factor as a coach, when you see the additions that have been made, how excited are you to watch the identity sort of start to evolve based on the addition of people like PJ and the desire to get tougher that we heard everybody express after the loss?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you as a coach, you don't really want to hear that sometimes, I think, from players, but I think what they're expressing is part of me wants to be like this, but I need somebody to go first. You know what I mean? Like, I got it in there. But I think that's what PJ Tucker's going to really like. You're going to see guys now like come a little bit out of their shell with their personality, not outside of themselves, but to that part of it can come out a little bit more as somebody is kind of out there in front. I wouldn't say that we are not tough as our group, but I think that now we have a catalyst for that and a leader in that area. And I think you'll see guys be their toughness is going to come out a little bit more than it has in the past.
Well, I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for you to hopefully have a more conventional, traditional 82-game season and to see how it all comes together. The reason, though, that we got together for this conversation is to talk about some other things that are happening off the court. This is something I love doing with our players. It's some of my favorite conversations to have are sort of how are we using our platforms outside of basketball to use your influence in a positive way and make the world a better place. So I know that you're going to be doing a camp this upcoming week. I know that you're doing other things in the community as well, but let's start there. Why is it so important to invest in the different communities that you've been in? And maybe can you actually rewind and tell us about your roots with this area of the country, why it's important to you to continue giving back there?
Yeah. So, there's four things or probably more that we try to do in the off season. One is totally relax, right? From the long season. And then another one would be, we try to work with our younger players and develop them as much as possible. And then another one would be, okay, now I'm trying to think of new ideas. And that usually kicks in about August because you've been chilling. You've been enjoying your family who misses you throughout the course of the season. So as a coach, you're trying to pick other people's brains, the college guys, wherever they're picking your brain, you're trying to figure out different things that you can add to your group and bring to the party this year that'll help us get to another level. And so we're doing that. And then fourth, having an ability now that the summer leagues are over, everybody's kind of available and the opportunity to do some camps or to do clinics and to give back. And I think the mindset is always, how can I help? And you see that with Tyrese and you see that with some of the other guys. It's not a self-promoting deal. It's how can we help more people have experiences that they might not otherwise have by providing resources for them to be able to do some of these things. And so I'm a part of a basketball camp and on the Standing Rock reservation in southern North Dakota, right in the middle, and it's northern South Dakota, southern North Dakota, in Fort Yates, North Dakota. And it's important to me because I think as a league, we do a lot of good things as a league and in individual parts of that. And I think we try to help some of the more underserved places in our country. And one of those that sometimes I think gets overlooked a little bit are the reservations. And some of the poorest counties that we have economically in our country are on the reservation. And the issues that some of these kids deal with, the suicide rates, the alcoholism rates, and those kinds of things that they grow up with, where I'm able to maybe have a chance to have an impact or to show them something, or they hear something like, oh, that's cool. I get a taste of that. I get a vision of what it looks like it's not about getting out, but it's rising to in their future. Maybe I want to be part of this, that, or the other experience that maybe I never even got to a chance to see in my mind. For us to do those kinds of things as some of the players do with their camps. And that's what we're trying to do and what I'm trying to serve at this camp.
That's so cool. So exciting and very helpful to people like me that don't have background in that area to just learn more. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for everything that you're doing with them. I know you're also involved in the NJTL. If you want to tell us a little bit more about that. I don't know that people always understand. It's a privilege for me rather to force you guys to brag about yourselves a little bit, because not everybody knows that this is such a big part of your life, of the players' lives, of the other coaches' lives. So if you would indulge me and us and let us know a little bit about that organization as well, I think people would love to hear about it.
I think, you know, you champion certain things where you are and how you can help with maybe your experiences and how that can maybe help somebody else. And so I bumped into this opportunity while I was the head coach in Memphis, junior tennis, and my kids, we were going to put them in this program. And it was like 3 hours a day for 5 days of the week. And the guy said, you know, that's going to be $50. And I was like, pardon me. He goes, if that's too much, you know, we can bring it down through our donations. I was like, no, it's not enough. How are you able to do that and serve these kids? And it was in some inner city spots in Memphis around the community. And that's how I got to learn about it. And so how can I help bring focus to that and also funds so that we can get more kids in there who can't pay or don't need to pay because we help support that. And so at the NJTL is National Junior Tennis and Learning. And it was started by Arthur Ashe. Just a tremendous spokesperson and wonderful human being. And we helped a lot of kids. And so now, you know, as time has happened and my life has changed personally through the cancer, and then we also have the COVID, I'm really looking forward to doing something with the NJTL in Philadelphia. And they've got a good program and people have gone on from there to do really good things. As I've understood, and it's just the world is changing now that we're fully back open and we can get involved in some of those things. So I think that's really positive. And then you have what has happened to me lately and my experience with cancer, and the idea that, okay, how can I help? And if I can use a platform to get it out that early detection makes a difference. It absolutely makes a difference. I'm not sure. It's not a big deal. No, go get it checked out. And with the Sixers have just been so supportive and just terrific. We're going to be able to do five or six through Jefferson is going to put out five or six different opportunities throughout the community with a mobile service where they can screen people and work on early detection for people that might not otherwise make that trip or push themselves to go have something checked out. And man, like that's like makes a difference. And I'm just really, really proud of our organization because they're just ahead of the curve. They're fantastic in their support of how can we help with the resources we have, which is a lot. And it's very humbling, very cool.
And that, of course, is a product of the fact that the team made that donation in your honor following your return to the team. So really cool to A, see you come back, but B, see you get something really positive positive out of an experience that was pretty negative. It's really inspiring. It's really cool. And I'm really glad that you and the team are going to be able to share that.
It's really cool.
Thank you for sharing about that experience as well. I can imagine that it's been just like a totally surreal year. We all had to deal with COVID, but then you had to deal with so much more right when we were coming out of it.
It was interesting and it was difficult and, you know, I had a lot of support from not just basketball people, but a lot of basketball people throughout the country and certainly friends and family. And then also, you know, our Sixers family as well. But yeah, it's not something you think is ever going to happen to you. And I think that's why people don't go get tested and get the detection devices and tests applied to them, because like, that's stuff that happens to other people. And I certainly was one of those people, like, that's never gonna happen. And I remember when I got the text, or we were in Toronto and like, we've found something, and you know what, and then you talk to your doctor, like you immediately call your doctor, and then to sit there in that hotel room, and you've been on the road plenty, you know how long those hours are from when shoot around is over to when you go to the arena. That, like, I think I could be a doctor with all the hours if I had done some studying and research from the hours of 12 till 4:30 in the afternoon on the road in a game. But so it was the longest 3 or 4 hours ever. And so when then we got to the arena, the trainer, I grabbed him and we went in, and Doc and I put our heads together and I said, here's what I know so far. We'll see what happens coming down the pike, but I can't believe this is happening to me. And you go through it and you get through it and come out the other side.
Well, and I know that it ended up being like a source of a lot of inspiration to people within the organization, people outside of the organization. I'm sure it's not easy to talk about it and share it. So thank you so much for sharing what you've shared. And again, applying the experience to now make some real actionable help and change for folks that are going to be saved by the ability to test early and screen early, as was the case in your life. So thank you so much for sharing it. And thank you for continuing to push to make it easier for others.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
Coach Yeager, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, I can go on and on. You know, we could just do this for like 2 hours. You make it so easy. So I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks as always for listening to the 76ers Insiders podcast. Thanks to Coach Yeager for his time during his time off. I'm Lauren Rosen. Check back in to the 76ers Insiders podcast feed for more updates as the offseason comes to a close and the preseason approaches. Matt Murphy and I will have you covered every step of the way for the 2022-23 season. We are excited. We hope you are too. And we will talk to you next time.